You know, sometimes when we think about communion, we think that it's for sinners to receive grace, to receive forgiveness, to receive acceptance. But it's really not for sinners, not for those who identify their reality, their identity is sinner. It's not for those who are still wearing that covering of sin. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is that what Jesus did on the cross has redefined who you are. You are no longer, your identity is no longer sinner. It's the child of the Most High God. That is your identity. And what Jesus did on the cross with his broken body and his shed blood, what happened was that blood of Christ has cleansed you. You have been made white as snow. He has wiped the slate clean. Your sins are not just covered up. Your sins are not even just forgiven. Your sins have been wiped away. There is no sin in you. Your identity is with Christ and what he accomplished on that cross. When we have a baptism and someone comes up out of the water, how do we respond? We cheer and we applaud and we yell and hoot because we're celebrating this new person in Christ. So as you receive communion this morning, I want to see that spirit of celebration. And I don't expect you to jump up and clap your hands and hoot and holler, but that's our attitude as we receive communion, is one of celebration. Because on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, every time all week long, when the enemy tries to remind you what a bad person you are and how you've sinned, just remember this moment, what Jesus did on the cross for you. You are a child of the Most High God.
Thank you, Doug. Well, let me just share a few quick announcements, and actually only just one announcement this morning, and that is that our extra giving this month is going to go toward Love in the Name of Christ. It's an organization that does a lot of different things in the community, everything from helping people with clothes or sometimes with financial help. And they actually, people come to the office. This is not how most, because this is a national organization, but this is not how we function. A lot of them just have like a store, like an affront where they call in, and ours, we set it up where people can actually come into the office. They get to know them by name. They'll sit down there, pray with them. They'll talk with them. They get to know them. And so it's kind of it's a very personal ministry. And we do a lot of different things in our community. So if you would like to give toward that ministry, designate that in the offering, and we'll make sure that it gets to them. And those other announcements can wait until another time. So I'm going to ask our ushers right now to come and wait on you for your tithes and offerings.
Pastor,
yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask, most of you know Savannah that comes here, and this is her mom, Karen. And we would just like to ask for prayer for Savannah. She's not really doing that good. So if we could all pray for her.
We'll pray for her, absolutely. Yes. We are going to pray together. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. You've encouraged us, Lord, in your word many, many different times to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and to focus on where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And Lord, if we look at tremendous needs around us, and even global disarray and struggles, problems all over the place, Lord, we thank you that we are able to look away to you, to focus on you, and to delight in you. And Lord, we do that today. We worship you, and we give you thanks, Lord, that we can bring our request to you. Right now, Lord, I do lift up Savannah. She's someone that I've prayed for over the last number of months and often, and she comes to mind. And Lord, right now she needs a physical touch from you. And we're asking you to break whatever chains hold her and to set her free. And pray, Father, that you would just intrude into her life. Remind her, Lord, of who she is in Christ. And remind her, Lord, of how much and how deep your love for her is. And we just pray that you would just minister to her in a very deep way, even today as we pray. We thank you, Father, that you hear us as we pray for her. And Lord, there are other people in our church family that need a touch from you, that need encouragement, maybe emotionally, or they need your help financially, or there are some relational things that are going on there where there's tension. And Lord, we're asking that in each of these areas, you would just break into those areas and show us how to pray, Lord, many times in those arenas. Because sometimes we're just at a loss, and we thank you that you told us that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with words that can't be uttered. And so we're just leaning on the Holy Spirit to pray through us in the ways that you would have us to pray for one another. And even for needs that are in our world. Father, as we are engaged right now in, or have been engaged in this war against Iran, Lord, these are big times that we're in and big things that are going on. And we know, Lord, that you have an agenda for this planet that cannot be thwarted. And we're asking, Lord, that you would accomplish your purpose in all that's taking place. We pray your protection upon our troops. We pray that your perfect will be done. We know that many of the Iranians are rejoicing in the fact that we're kind of dismantling, Lord, the regime that's been there. They've been under so much persecution, and so many people there have been killed, their own people being killed. We pray, God, that somehow or other the gospel would break into that nation, and that many, many of them would come into the freedom that there is in Jesus. And now that there may be, perhaps, be greater freedom for them to throw off the shackles of a legalistic system of religion and government. And we pray, Father, that they would be set free, and that there would be a great upheaval in a good way. Many people turning to Jesus, finding freedom for the first time in their life in that way. Lord, we pray for that kind of thing to happen even globally, around the world. There are so many places where there's war and unrest. And Lord, we know that really we will never experience total peace until Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace. But we pray, Father, that even until and even before that time comes, that you would move upon people and bring many, many, many people, millions of people, into the kingdom of God. Lord, we commit our church to you. We commit ourselves to you. And as I share thoughts right now, I pray that you would let your Holy Spirit come upon me. I declare my dependence on the Holy Spirit, and pray that you would use the words that I share to stir us in good directions. And Lord, fill our hearts this week with hope and with praise and celebration that we are part of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 weeks ago, I shared thoughts about our identity in Christ. Doug alluded to that this morning. to accept by sheer radical faith that I am in Christ and Christ is in me, even when sometimes it doesn't feel like it. And if accepting my identity is a deliberate faith choice, then I can affirm that even when circumstances seem to contradict what God declares. Because if God declares something is true, it's true. God said it, then that's the way it is. Well, this morning, what I'm sharing is somewhat similar, but a little different. And you may not pick up on the difference immediately, but I'll explain it in a minute. And here it is. When I received Christ, I became part of the body of Christ. If you have received Christ, then you have also become part of his body. I could say that you become a Christian, but that's not exactly what I'm referring to today. I prefer to say I'm become part of his body, and I'll explain why. But first, a little story. Many of you don't know that during my years, the years that I worked as a cabinet maker, I hurt one of my fingers in my left hand. I finally decided to send that finger off to a doctor and get it fixed. After a few weeks, I hardly even missed it. And even though I play the piano, I mostly play, you know, octaves with my left hand. And I never did bother to go back to the doctor to pick it up. And you can see the results of that decision. Then about a year later, I hurt two other fingers. And I decided to send them off to the doctor as well. But I can still play octaves. And even though I'm left-handed, I learned to write again and eat again with my left hand. So I never bothered to pick them up either. Now, it really isn't as bad as it sounds. I knew a nurse who worked for that doctor, and she told me that my fingers were actually doing quite well on their own, even though they aren't attached to my body. They seem healthy, productive, happy. From what I've heard, one of them even has learned how to play melodies with, you know, one finger, two fingers, whatever, on their own. Eventually, I wanted them back, but they decided they didn't want to come back. Now, I can tell you don't believe this story, because you know that fingers and toes and eyes and so on need to be connected to a body and a brain. They need to be connected in order to work right. But strangely, there really are people who don't seem to understand the need for being attached to a body. So let's talk about the body of Christ. Multiple scriptures talk about us being the body of Christ. To mention a few, 1 Corinthians 12:17, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Ephesians 1. 22 and 23, God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. Ephesians 5, 23, Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Colossians 1, 18, he is the head of the body, the church. And here's a longer passage, and one that I enjoy repeating on occasion. I read it more often than maybe certain other passages, because it expresses this truth and this idea so well. And it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though it has all of its parts, although all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given one spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that his parts should have equal concern for each other. And we're going to stop right there for now. And this analogy of being Christ's body teaches us some really, I think, important things about how we are to relate to each other and how we are to live this Christian life. First of all, being Christ's body defines who I am. I'm not just Mark Sartori, an individual who has decided to follow Christ. By itself, that does not define me. Being part of Christ's body, that's who I am. And so when people turn from their sin and become a follower of Jesus, in that instant, they become something, they become part of something that's way bigger than themselves. And if you have placed your trust in Jesus, then your identity and my identity are inseparably linked. Our lives are inextricably woven together. I'm sorry. If you don't want to be connected with me, it's too late if you're a believer. We are part of something way bigger than ourselves. So stop thinking of yourself as an individual Christian. Your identity is defined by the body of Christ. It's not just you and Jesus walking down the road together, Jesus and I walking down. No, it's not that at all. You're part of a body. Now let this sink in. I can't live as an island unto myself and live the Christian life as God intends. Because the Christian life is to be lived out in the context of a body. I run into people, you know, all the time. I mean, they tell me, you can't believe how many times I've heard this. I believe in Jesus, but I don't go to church. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Or, you know, I worship God better in nature than I do in church. Or I can serve God just as well out of the church as in it. Listen. Even if that is, those statements are true, they miss God's intent that we learn to function as a body. God intends that we give up the right to live as lone rangers, in part because many control issues, pride issues, and agape love issues can only be learned in the context of a body. And I, off by itself, a finger off by itself, an ear off by itself, can't function without being connected to the body. We live in a generation where many consider church attendance optional or when it's convenient. And so people will show up every, few weeks, every few months, maybe not at all. And let's just say that some are very strong, solid, grounded worshipers who do their best to live out their faith. There are people, some of them, that I really deeply respect in terms of even their walk with God in many ways. They aren't bad people, but they're missing an important part of God's intent. And that is that we learn to function together as one body in Christ. You can pray, witness, worship, do warfare against the enemy as an individual, but when you do any of those same things as a body that is united, you instantly move into a whole dimension of power. There were no Lone Ranger Christians in early Christendom. They were all in one accord, all part of one body. There wasn't another church across the street that they could go to if they didn't like the one they were at. There was the Church of Ephesus. There was the Church of Philippi. There was the Church of Jerusalem. There was the Church of Antioch. There was the Church in Rome. The Church. And so, you know, if you were part of the early church, you had to learn to live together with other believers in context of one body and learn to accept each other's differences. You know, we're Mountain View Alliance Church, we're not the only church. And at times, you know, I will even recommend a particular church if I think it's a good fit for a person. But if I bounce from one church to another, how can I ever learn about agape love? Learning to love people hugely different than myself. What will ever force me to face my blind spots? Or my control issues? Or my pride? If I don't stay in one church and get to know those people and work through the differences that we have, those things happen when we stay in one body and stay connected through thick and thin. For me to leave when I have an issue with someone in the church thwarts God's design for body life. Over the years, there have been some people who have told me that they felt God was telling them to leave the church, but they gave up any connection to a body. And some of them would go to seminars, conferences, even mission trips. But if there is no accountability, if there is no participation in a body, I'm not being mean, but I question whether it was God who spoke to them, because God intends people to be part of a body, to be connected, to be participants, to learn from each other, help each other to grow. Think of Augustine, who said, he cannot have God for his father who does not have the church for his mother. It has the Catholic Church feel to it, but there's some truth in it, because Christian character, listen, Christian character, humility, agape love, being confronted with my blind spots, using my spiritual gifts, is learned in the context of shoulder-to-shoulder interaction with a church body. Let's jump to just a few implications of this way of thinking. First of all, it adds importance to what I do. One little eye doesn't seem that important. One little ear, you know, doesn't seem that. I can get along without those things. But if that part isn't functioning, it affects the entire body. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. If the whole body were an eye, picture this, a huge eye walking down the street, that would be a monster. You know, here's the potato head, just the head walking by itself. It's a monster, really. It's not real. Bethany helps prepare communion elements on Communion Sunday. That's an important function of the body. Randy and Mike open up the doors, unlock the doors on Sunday mornings, and prepare the coffee. Joanna and Isaac have been cleaning coffee pots and collecting garbage after Sunday mornings. That keeps me from having to, when, let's say, once I preach a sermon, tired, want to go home and relax, it keeps me from having to do it all myself. That's a ministry to the body. Peggy sends out cards to people and prays for many or maybe most of us by name each week. Diane picks people up and drives them home, not just on Sundays, but often other times as well. I happen to have a high-profile ministry in this particular body, but my wife prays for me, supports me, makes sure I don't miss appointments, and helps out in big ways on the home front. Are those things important? Absolutely. I would probably fall apart without Marlene in my life. We would be lost and ineffective without people able to work with children or willing to help in the nursery, who are able to lead worship or gifted in reaching the unchurched, willing to comfort the grieving, able to spend time in prayer. And so knowing we're part of the body of Christ gives important and significance to whatever I do, whatever you do. Whatever you do is more important than you realize, because you're part of a family, you're part of a body. And I can tell you that I know when people aren't here. I know who's not here. Just sometimes there's a ministry of presence, and just you being here makes a difference. And if I look out and you're not there, I miss you. And so and last week, there were a number of people that came up and said, "Where's so-and-so?" And there were three or four people that hadn't been here. We haven't seen them for now a couple of weeks. What's going on in there? See, when you're not here, it makes a difference. And when we work together as part of the body of Christ, that's an important thing. But seeing ourselves as part of the body also challenges anyone from thinking too highly of his or her role in the body. Here's one man's interpretation of a section of 1 Corinthians 12. "I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. No matter how significant you are, it's only because you are what you are a part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each in its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine an eye telling a hand, 'Get lost, I don't need you'? Or the head telling the foot, 'You're fired, your job has been phased out?' The way God has designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church, every part dependent on every other part." Sometimes people with speaking gifts or leadership gifts or deep insights see themselves as, you know, God's gift to the church. "Oh, they're so blessed to have me in the church." But they're gifts. You can't take pride in a gift. "Today is my daughter's birthday. We're going to give her a gift." She doesn't take pride in the gift. No, it's a gift. And if you have a gift, then it's a gift. Accept that. "I'm not more spiritual than you because God gives me the ability to put words together in a certain way. This is my part in the body. You have your part in the body." We're all important in the ministry of the body. And lastly, I will just say that working as part of the body of Christ, without being too redundant here, it builds character. It teaches us to deal with pride, the desire to control, selfishness, and I won't belabor that point. Now, there are exceptions to what I've shared. Times when it's the right thing before God to leave a cult, for example, or a church defying God's standards, or a church that denies the deity of Christ or the authority of Scripture. It's the right thing to leave in a situation like that. But as a general rule, we are intended to identify ourselves as part of the body of Christ. It defines who we are and what we do. We are his hands, his feet, his mouth, his presence in this world. And so we bring comfort to those who are in pain. We bring his hope to those in despair, his light to those who are in darkness. We are a presence of strength to those who are faint. And we do it together as the body of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this truth and for this great privilege of belonging to the body of Christ and being part. That's our identity. I pray that we will get it, because we become so very individualistic in the United States. We all have this idea, well, it's just me and Jesus walking on the road together. No, not at all. We can't really live the Christian life separated from the body of Christ. It's like this stupid eye or that stupid hand or the stupid ear there by itself, thinking that it can function without being attached. It doesn't work that way. Help us, Lord. Help us to get it. And I give you thanks for what you will do in and through us as a church family, as a church body. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a little chorus. It's an older chorus. "We are one in the Spirit." And I'll ask you to stand as we sing that song. Thank you, Lord, for this great privilege we have of being part of the body of Christ. Pray that we'll live that way this week, even, Lord, as we leave this building, that even though we're not in contact with each other in a one-on-one basis all through every day of the week, still we see ourselves as part of the family of God and doing it together as a church family. Fill us, Lord, with the joy of your presence and the certainty of knowing who we are in Christ and seeing ourselves as one with Christ and also seeing ourselves as part of the body of Christ. We give you praise and we give you thanks for the time we spent together this morning. Fill us with your joy and even hope. And Lord, for those that have need the particular ministry of Jesus in their life in a particular area, Lord, meet that need in their lives even this week as we pray for one another, encourage each other, bless each other, and work together. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.